Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to gather in your presence again. Lord, as we go into your word, I recognize my inability and limitations to minister and deliver this word as I ought. So, Lord, I empty myself of every confidence in my knowledge and preparation. I ask you for fresh mercy. Under the covering of my fathers and of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, let mercy from your throne, Lord, grant me, Lord, fresh unction, so that I will speak your word as an oracle of God, and that this word will come forth, Lord, in humility. It will come forth in power, in clarity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will do an internal, eternal work, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we dock under the covering of our fathers, that everywhere this word goes, you will back it with your power, so that it will break yokes. Lord, it will, Lord, set captives free. It will remove the veil that covers the eyes of multitudes. And indeed, you will cause it to bring strength to our feet and to our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn, and not hearers only, and our lives will bring forth fruit that will glorify you, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me, Lord, to be concise. Help me to be precise. Lord, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, so that I'll be like a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, not speaking only as you allow me to. Things, Lord, new and old, bringing them forth out of the treasure of your word, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I lean on you entirely, Holy Spirit. Thank you. For I just yield myself in your hands as a vessel. And Lord, you will use me as you will, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, right up onto 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And we saw in our last lesson that we wait actively. Verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, talks about waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And we saw that the way we wait is actively, because he's not coming for us in the rapture. Now he's coming in us so that he can equip us to fulfill the work of the ministry and take the gospel to the very ends of the earth and cause the glory of God to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And then he's coming for a victorious church. Amen. So we saw that we wait actively by watching and praying. And we saw that in Luke 21:36. No, the Bible talks about watching and praying, which basically means that we clean our hearts regularly, at least four times a day. We clean our hearts with the blood. We receive life, you know, into our hearts. We speak the word of God on divine love, and we pray in tongues. Now, we do these things at different times. But when the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit or watching and praying, we do it together. That is the wisdom that we receive of our fathers. And that's the beauty of instruction. The Bible says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, for she is at thy life. So it's that instruction is what we keep, and it keeps us in the love of God. You know, it keeps us obedient to God and gives us access. So when we pray like this, you know, we receive a fresh infusion. We're supposed to do it at least four times a day. We saw that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. Let's look at that very quickly. 2 Samuel 6:13. David was bringing the ark of glory back to Israel. Okay, and we saw that the Bible says, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. It's an instruction. And it has to be decoded by spiritual fathers. Amen. So we see, because no, the principles are in the New Testament, but the details are in the Old Testament. So you see that detail there, because the ark was borne on the shoulders of priests. No, there were four priests, talking about government or spiritual authority. And then they came back this way, and the rest of Israel was behind them. So it's an instruction we do. So we keep it at least four times a day, and every opportunity, and in every time. And that's how we bring the glory of God back to the church. Right now, we're waiting for that glory. Amen. And that's the key. It's very important and instructive that we obey that instruction, because every time you do that, you are hastening the glory. You are hastening the coming of the Lord as you wait actively for Him. So we saw that. And when we walk in obedience causes us to escape the wrath of God. Now, of course, wrath is at two levels. There's the wrath of going to hell, and then there's also the wrath of what the Bible calls in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, talks about indignation and wrath. You know, so when anytime you walk in disobedience, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is an automatic, more or less, there's a consequence. That's the word. Okay, there's a consequence for disobedience, you know, and of course, when we confess our sins, so we now have to keep walking in obedience. And when we walk in obedience, then mercy can triumph over judgment. Amen. And then we escape wrath. So we saw that it was at two levels. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, we also saw Paul talking about the fact that his ministry to the Thessalonians was not in vain. Now, the essence of ministry is to produce godly character in the lives of saints. If it comes and it does not produce godly character, to that degree, is in vain. So what he was saying here is that his ministry had impacted the lives of Thessalonian brethren in spite of the persecution, so that the fruit of the Spirit was abundant in their lives. Okay, and that's important and to note, because that's pure. And we saw the reason was because of his pure motive. He said it there, you know that it was not in vain. Next verse, you know, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Next verse, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. We're talking about that to a certain degree today, this by the help of the Holy Spirit. So we see that purity of motive is really key, in ministry, because there are many people who are in ministry and their motives are not pure. Amen. You're quiet on me this morning. Their motives are not pure. Amen. All right, so and we see that deceit, uncleanness, guile, they have a motive that is beyond what they are saying on the surface, you know, and you need to be able to discern. And I didn't say this last time, but I think it's important to mention this, that when you talk about purity of motive, you're talking about two things. One is the motive to declare all the counsel of God. Acts 20:27. You don't leave out any part. For example, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, you know, in verse 30, where it talks about receiving 100-fold, that if anybody has given up anything, you receive 100-fold return of houses, you know, children, lands, no. And no, you can quote that scripture and leave out some salient aspects of the scripture. The scripture says, in this time. The Amplified talks about, in this lifetime. It's not tomorrow. These are the subtle things, you know, the Bible says in this time, and then it says that you get all that with persecution. Now we can quote that scripture and just leave out the persecution part and leave out the fact that it's supposed to come over a lifetime. We've distorted the word of God to that degree. We've taken out the whole counsel. We've not preached all the counsel of God. We've distorted it. You know, sometimes people take out whole messages. Holiness. The fear of God. You know, the cross of Christ. You know, these are things that, you know, you don't hear them in some churches. Everything is God's going to bless you, and God's going to bless you. But God needs you to fulfill certain criteria for the degree of blessing to keep increasing. And that's the essence of studying our Bibles like we're doing today by the grace of God. The other thing, apart from declaring the whole counsel of God, is that the purpose of ministry is to make saints like Christ. And we saw that, Colossians 1:25-28 says that. Let's just look at that quickly. Colossians 1:25. Thank you. Whereof, let's read together, brethren. Whereof, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So this is what he's saying, that ministers have a dispensation. God, they are dispensing the word to us. Amen. Look at, whereof I am made a minister. No, let's go back to the next one. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Next verse. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Mystery means secret. So there is a secret that ministers must unravel through the word of God for the saints to understand certain things among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That message must be unraveled. Amen. And that's the aim and the essence of ministry. Now we do miracles, we do blessings, we do the different things we do. We do charity work, community work. But this is the purpose. This is the goal. Next verse. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. This is the purpose. Every man must come to a point where we are perfect in Christ. And that's what ministry is about. Amen. Now, of course, there are different, Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, other things shall be added. So there are other things. There's deliverance, there's salvation, there's prosperity, there's healing. There are different things. And God is all part of the same message. But if you seek Christ, then those needs are met. Amen. And that's the essence of when we talk about purity of motive. If you take away these two ingredients, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. The gospel lacks truth. You're preaching the word of God, but you are staying away from the truth of the word of God. If any man teach otherwise, I can't hear you, brethren, and consent not to what? Wholesome words. So there's a complete message. Amen. No, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. See, next verse. He is what? Proud, knowing nothing. But he knows a lot of things. But he's saying, if you don't know the end, the knowledge that you have is not going to profit you. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of wherever coming, envy, strifes, reigning. So that rejection of the wholesome words and the doctrine according to godliness brings a different message. It brings strife and division in the church. Next verse. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind. So he's perverted the gospel. And destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. What is God saying? And God is saying that people that preach this kind of message have a spiritual communicable disease. Are you listening? They have a spiritual communicable disease. Communicable disease means that you can get infected by listening to them. As we see as we go on. Amen. All right. We also saw, the apostle gave an example of how they suffered shame for the gospel's sake. And we said that, there is shame. Sometimes you have to bear shame. Often. Okay. Bible says, let's go without the camp and bear his reproach. So following Jesus, following spiritual fathers, following the truth of the word of God brings shame. Sometimes. Because you're not following the crowd. Amen. You're soaring like an eagle in the air. Eagle is not, it doesn't walk, doesn't flock with other birds. It flies alone at very high altitude. Amen? All right, so you see that there is shame in that. But we see that the apostles responded with boldness because they were focused on the purpose of God. I said it last time was that, the hope of the glory, keeps us. Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. No, that joy is the joy of manifesting God's glory, the joy of sitting on God's throne eternally, and then the joy of, setting captives free, setting the whole of creation free. So, but really, in this context, it's about focusing on the purpose of God. The purpose of God was that Paul saw a vision. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And that vision had not been fulfilled. So in spite of the fact that he was beaten, Paul remained alert to try and find out, Lord, how is this purpose going to be fulfilled? And So when the opportunity came to save the house of the jailer and the entire family, he was there. And he picked it. So you see, ministry is not just about ministering the word and having a pulpit to talk from. It's more about your character, your response in situations like that, to allow the will of God to be done. Of course, Jesus Christ also reminds us that when God, the Holy Spirit, told him and said, your friend Lazarus is sick, and said, wait here for 2 more days. You know, that's an example. And in the end, God turned it around the way he wanted to turn it around. Amen. So we see that ministry is more about obedience and the character of Christ than about preaching fancy words from the pulpit. Amen. All right, so that's important, okay? And we stopped at verse 3 where we said sincerity and purity of heart are vital for a victorious Christian life, because they allow us to, they determine the measure of the mercy and the grace of God that we receive. Mercy of God is the compassion of God. Pastor has taught us so many times that releases life to us from the inside, you know. So I beg your pardon. Mercy is the compassion of God that releases life to us from the outside, in the air. Okay? And then grace is the compassion of God, you know, that releases life to us from the inside when we confess our sins. Alright? So we see that the two work together, because that's how you get life. It determines the measure of the life that we receive, and then the degree to which that life now is now able to make us godly, and that's how we overcome different circumstances and situations. Amen. All right, so we're moving on now to in verse 3. We're looking at verse 3 from a different perspective this morning. We're looking at ministers of God. Look at the Amplified, verse 3. Verse 3. For our appeal in preaching does not originate from delusion or error or impure purpose or motive, nor in fraud or deceit. Delusion is a fixed false belief that doesn't have any evidence, you know, in real time, you know. It's just held on to without any evidence to support it, all right? So he's talking about the fact that you know, that there was no error. There's no impure purpose. And you can see that these things, for him to say this, it means that it's important, because there are some that speak from impure purpose. They speak from delusion. They speak from fraud and deceit. Look at the Message Bible. Thank you. Right. God tested us. Let's read it again. God tested us thoroughly to make sure we were qualified to be trusted with this message. Brethren, the truth is that God prepares his ministers and tests them before he releases them onto the congregation and people of God. You know, and that is, Jesus at 12 was able to preach, you know, and ask questions from the Pharisees and was foxing them with his wisdom and understanding. Yet he remained for 18 more years, 30 years, like Pastor has taught us, to prepare for a 3.5-year ministry. That's the emphasis God places on preparation. Okay? Moses spent 40 years preparing. Joseph spent 13 years preparing. All right? Paul spent 17 years preparing. He spent 3 years first, went to Peter, then found out that no, he's still not done. He has to go back and spend another 14 years. God takes time. Brethren, God takes time. You can't rush to you know, because what God does is that he creates a poplar. And it takes time to create a poplar rod. And then when the sheep come and drink in the trough of the word of God that is coming out of that poplar rod, they become what they see. So it's not really about how much poetry you know, how many quotes you can bring in, no motivational quotes from people all over. There's nothing wrong with those things, insofar as the core of it is that the vessel is well prepared. Amen. And preparation does two things. It purifies the vessel, and then it allows time to acquire the character of Christ. Two things. It purifies the vessel. So the all these things about impure motive, they are removed over time under the covering of spiritual fathers. That's the way God wants it to be. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1:22 quickly. 1 Peter 1:22. seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So the more you walk in obedience, the more our hearts are purified. Amen. The more our hearts are purified. So obedience, you know, as it were, purifies the heart. That's why it takes time. God puts them in one backside and keeps developing them, you know, because, you know, the preparation is key for the purity of the vessel. Okay? Look at Acts 1:1. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. It's doing before teaching. Let's say it again. It's doing before teaching. So you may say, "Ah, God has called me." Yes, God has called you. Amen. God has called all of us. We are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And on that journey, God will use us in different dimensions. Use us in different capacities along the way. Amen. All right? So, but the thing is, it's the doing. It's the doing. No? Because the right words must be backed with the right spirit. You can have the right words and not have the right spirit. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. The Bible study, that's why we're looking at all the scriptures, so we can have a grounding in God's word. Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. Brethren, it's not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit. What's coming out of that person's spirit? How much prayer has been done? You know, how much power is coming out? And look at what God looks at the spirit. Look at this. Look at Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Romans 8:9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of who? Christ. He is none of his. God is telling you the criterion. No, it's not just preaching. You know, and even as Christians, we must cultivate, acquire the character of Christ. That is the stamp. It's a production line. You know, if a company is producing soap, you know, this soap must be mixed in the right concentration, and then it must have a certain size, and when it comes up, then they stamp it and they package it and they put the brand on it. That's how you know that if it's different in content, you know, then you cannot put the brand on it. If it's not constituted according to the required standard, it has to be constituted. Look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. It says, them that are Christ have done what? Crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. So it means that those who have not crucified the flesh are not Christ. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. So God is saying that it's and this is why we are under spiritual fathers. This is why we have to submit to spiritual authority. Unfortunately, many people release themselves into ministry. Amen. Because, you know, they have the resources and they they're not really prepared, you know, for what's going on. If I've heard pastors say this, you know, for you to come into ministry in this third day, in this manifestation of the glory of God, you must be at least a spiritual young man. You must be strong. The word of God must be in you, and you must overcome the wicked one. Otherwise, you are stepping out into a field that is fatherless, and there are powerful spiritual forces that will make mincemeat of you in spite of all your good intentions. We'll see that later, but that's why you have to look at Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. It's very important. It's vital. This is why this is God's system. Ministers are birthed. They are trained. They are prepared. Then they are released. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. You know, he didn't just come in the first day he got born again. No. Bible says there were certain prophets and teachers when they're fasting and praying. You know, and then God said that, look, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, he has Christ in his spirit, and he is Lord of all, potentially, seated with Christ in heavenly places, but he's saying that because he is still a spiritual child, he is a servant of the sin nature. Spiritual childhood means that our desires and infirmities, they drive and direct our thoughts and our decisions. Next verse. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Father there is Father in heaven, but the Father in heaven speaks to fathers on the earth, those tutors and governors. And it is them that release you. So you don't release yourself. Amen. Bible says, be not many masters, for we shall have the greater condemnation. We're going to be judged by higher standard. I don't know whether you've noticed, brethren. I have noticed this. You know, I mean, if anywhere you go to an office in the ministry, you see that in that office, there are one or two pastors. I don't know whether you've noticed it. Everywhere, there are one or two pastors. If you have artisans come to work in your house, and there are five of them, one of them is a pastor. At least they call him pastor. Okay? If you go to the mechanic shed, they would say, pastor. No. There are pastors all over. Yet, look at where Nigeria is on the corruption index. Look at where it's an indictment against us, and it just tells you that ministry is not having impact on the society. It's supposed to impact society when it's done properly. It survives with the entrance of our world was not in vain. It's supposed to produce fruit that's supposed to change the society. Amen. And raise the standard, raise the bar. You know, so when there's a pastor, you know that some things just can't happen because he's around. It's the way it's supposed to be. You won't tell you, oh God, don't worry, we'll do it for you. We'll show you how to do it. You know, I know you can't do it, but we'll do it for you. The pastor was giving us a testament about that. Like, we'll do it for you. No, don't do it for me. Amen. And don't allow them to do it for you. Amen. All right, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which does what? Trieth our hearts. That we will preach this from the rooftop. God tries the hearts. God tests the hearts. Why did you say this? Why did you say it in that way? Why did you do that? God tries the hearts. And that is talking about sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Pastors are supposed to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You speak what He asks you to speak. Amen. And when, but it says, as you are allowed of God. So God had the final say. When God said, I allow, then they allow them to go. If God says, I don't allow, then they hold back. They don't release. They don't go. The Bible says sometimes Paul wanted to go into Asia, but the Spirit forbade him. This is so. Ministry is not about preaching. Preaching is the easiest part. It's about living the word and becoming the word. Amen. It's about becoming the word so that you become a written epistle known and read of all men. And people then look at your life and they draw faith from it. Amen. All right. So we see. But those that are allowed of God, they have a divine approval. For release, because them whom God calls, God certainly equips. Amen. All right, and we look at that in Acts 2:22 of Jesus. Well, we know that Jesus was a man. Let's look at it. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. You're not reading it. Are you not men of Israel? Let's read together. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, is it God? Done what? Approved of. Among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. After 18 years of preparation, approved. This one is the standard. Bam! And then release. That's the way it works, brethren. And we must not lower the standard. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be 18 years, but we're saying that you're going to need time to grow. Amen. Grow from spiritual babyhood to spiritual childhood, from spiritual childhood to spiritual young manhood, from young manhood to spiritual fatherhood. All right, and it takes time. Amen. Looking at the pattern in the Word of God, okay? So, the power of the Holy Spirit operates initially under covering, and God keeps refining the motive. He keeps refining the motive and works on the vessel. So, the vessel is now being used, but God is still, the Bible says that He prunes it. Them that bring forth fruit, He prunes it, that He may bring forth even more fruit. So we're talking about that it's a constant process. And that should be our focus, brethren. What is going on in our hearts? What's going on in our lives? Because right there in our lives, we can see the power of the Holy Spirit operating through the purity of our hearts. Amen? And in everything that we do. Look at John chapter 5, verse 30 to 31, because this is key. This is Jesus. He's the pattern son. So, we can't do anything outside of what Jesus did. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. But he said that because he has already allowed himself to be like that. He chose to be like that. He can do his own thing. People are doing their own thing. So when you say to yourself that I come on, you allow yourself to be like that. If God does not move, I'm not going to move. And that reminds me of our fathers. Amen. If something happens, except when we don't know what God is saying, we'll be looking and praying. Once we know what God is saying like this, that's it. We're off. And we work day and night to bring it to pass. Amen. That's the example. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. That's the example. You wait. You wait to hear what God is saying. This is ministry. Ministry says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. This is key. Look at the next verse. Next verse. Not our own will. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Brethren, if you preach the message and people say, it's very hot, it's very good, I was really blessed, and God is not saying that. Bible says, if you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. God must bear witness. That is the approval we are seeking. We're not in a popularity contest. And that is sometimes the snare of Babylon. You want to be up there with the Joneses. I want to do this, so you compete. And so, that we are not doing it to please Him. It's talking about pleasing Him. Not my own will. And it takes time to get to that place. You can say it in an instant, not my will. It's easy to say, not my will. Let's say it together, not my will, but thy will be done. But it takes refining, going through situations where you didn't choose your will, then you didn't choose his will. You now go back, you repent, and God gives another opportunity again, and then gradually you learn to choose his will. And you have now learned to know how it feels when you are choosing his will. So when you are choosing his will, your whole flesh is telling you, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. And your spirit is calm. That's the fact that you've chosen the right thing. Whereas your whole flesh can be telling you, we're on the right path. Go, you will deal with them. You will go. And the spirit, and somebody's saying, are you sure? A still small voice. Are you sure? God will help us to grow in sensitivity. But this is important. Amen. All right. Once this focus shifts of not my will, once this focus shifts, because that's where it's at. It's like a compass. It determines where you're going. So once it shifts, then you veer off into what Papa Kelivana taught us and Pastor has taught us, being man-centered. Everything is about men and what men see and what men say. Being entertainment based and being need oriented. So you respond to the needs of the people. You give a prophetic word when God didn't give it. Yes, You give a prophetic word, and you give the prophetic word, you know, and you say, thus said the Lord, and the Lord didn't say anything. All right? And then you preach and you say that this was going to happen, and you remove, like I told you from Mark chapter 10, you remove some subtle things, you know, from the scripture, and you say, it's going to happen now. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, it's on social media. I saw another one the other day. But there was like, those that wanted to be that were, if you know that you can give 1 million, come out. I don't have time. I'm not begging anybody. Just come out. You know, and people are rushing out. You know, that God has, you know, God has told me. I used to be poor, but I'm not in that one again. I said, Oluwa, come out now. No, this year God's going to break that poverty. Does God want to break poverty? Yes. But is he going to use an offering? Once you tie offering to the condition, that is the cloak of covetousness. God doesn't use money as a condition. So the key then is for our hearts to be Christ-centered, to be kingdom-oriented, and to be anointing-based. So you don't need entertainment. You know, church is not a place where your emotions are excited. Now, of course, you know, if you're in the presence of God, you know, there's fullness of joy. Amen. But that's not the primary. The primary is that God is exalted in our lives. Amen. And that's the purpose of God. Amen. All right. Verse 5 and 6. Amen. Verses 5 and 6. Amen. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. So God is the one judging. Everything is here, you see, about God pleasing God. God is witness. Next verse. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ. Give me verse 4 in the Message Bible. Verse 4. Be assured that when we speak to you, we're not after what? Crowd approval. Only God approval. Since we've been put through that battery of tests. So God has a battery of tests. The battery that is a series of tests he puts it, you must pass before you are released. Amen. You are guaranteed that both we and the message are free of error, mixed motives, or hidden agendas. So you have two things here: the message and the vessel. The message and the vessel. That's what I want to bring out there. You can see it's the message. That's why God takes time to prepare the vessel. And when you prepare the vessel and you walk in the truth, the message will automatically come out because you've walked it out. Do and teach. Amen. All right. So let's go back to verses 5 and 6. Look at it. So we're talking about, give me verse 6. Verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. When people are seeking glory for men, they become a burden. A spiritual burden. A burden to God and a burden to the people. Because the burdens of the people are not alleviated. They add to it like lawyers. They take away the key of knowledge and give them burdens heavy to be borne. And they don't teach them what they need to teach them to make the yoke easy and the burden light. Okay? All right. So, talking about God is a witness in our hearts. All right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2 in the Amplified. All right? Second Corinthians chapter 4, 1 and 2. Verse 1. Therefore, since we do not hold and engage in this ministry, therefore, since we do hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God, talking about sincerity of heart, right there, okay, granting us favor benefits, opportunities, and especially salvation. We do not get discouraged, spiritless, and despondent with fear, or become faint with weariness and exhaustion. Next verse. We have renounced disgraceful ways. These ways are disgraceful, brethren. Let's read it together. Secret thoughts, feelings, desires, and underhandedness, the methods and arts that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God. But we state the truth openly, clearly, and candidly, and so we commend ourselves in the sight and presence of God to every man's conscience. This is how it works. This is how there's a renouncing that is done through growth. You know, as we walk with God through growth, you know, and then we come to a place. And then, of course, when God starts, God keeps working on that, okay? So it's very important. Flattery here is talking about the fact that, you know, when you talk about flattery, I went to the dictionary. Flattery is excessive and insincere praise. You are praising the person beyond what the person is... beyond what the person is actually, what they deserve, okay? Giving especially to further one's own interests, okay? And what talks about the cloak of covetousness is preaching what saints desire to hear or do what they want for financial gain. So I give you a word for an offering, okay? I pronounce a miracle upon you for an offering. Everything I do is for an offering. And this opens the door to a powerful spirit called the spirit of Babylon. Amen. Let's look at Revelation chapter 18. This spirit is running affairs in the world. It's basically doing things man's way. Okay? Doing man's way of doing what he wants to do. Look at Revelation chapter 18. Give it to me, verse 10, quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Standing afar off for the fear of our torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. God is going to judge Babylon. It's already begun. Amen. Next verse. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise, for no man buyeth the merchandise anymore. Next verse. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, and these are the things that Babylon is involved in. So you can see this is the business world. That this is basically, I mean, everything we do in the business world is here. No, all manners of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass, iron and marble. Next verse 13. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil. Right there is anointing. Babylon merchandises the anointing. So I give you anointing for money. I use the anointing for my own personal gain. Turning stones to become bread. That's what it's doing. Fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses, chariots and slaves, and the souls of men. So it's trading in the souls of men. He trained the souls of men. And as if that was bad enough, look at verse 20. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So there's the day of vengeance. And God is avenging us in Zion of Babylon. God is avenging us. And look at the influence that she has. Let's look at verse 23 and 24. Give that to me in the Amplified. 23 and 24. 23 and 24. Alright, and I will, yes. And I will strike her children, her proper followers, dead, thoroughly exterminating them. And all assemblies, churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches minds, the thoughts, feelings, and purposes, and the innermost hearts, and I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. Next verse. But the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, I tell you, no, you are giving me Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 18, 18, 18. Thank you. Yes, and never again shall the light of a lamp shine in you, but the voice and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall never be heard in you again. For your businessmen were the great and prominent men of the earth, and by your magic spells and poisonous charms, nations were led astray, seduced, and deluded. So when you talk about the fact that, you know, when you mention certain things, it sounds so alien and sounds so strange, it is because the generality is deluded. There is a spirit in the air. It just affects our thought processes. Amen. And it talks about poisonous charms. So there is talking about influence, power in the air that affects people's reasoning so that everything is I, me, mine oriented. Amen. And this is the kind of spirit that dealt with Samson. It's the spirit that dealt with Samson. Samson, I mean, how can you say how did Samson sleep? It was not ordinary sleep. It was Babylon. But you know, Babylon was able to do that because Samson was disobedient. So this is the key. You know, so God is already begun to judge in the spirit, you know, and if the ministers that are involved in this, you need to repent because God wants to give you a chance and repent so that you can escape. And there are people that are beginning to hear the call and say that, this thing is wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, you know, and they're beginning to change. Thank God for that, amen. And that's our prayer, amen. Let's give God a super hand for that. You know, God wants to save as many as he wants to, amen. And you can see, for me, I want to give you just two examples of this spirit of Babylon as we close. Two examples of this spirit. The first one is the story of Gehazi. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 5, quickly. 2 Kings 5, 5. We know the story. Naaman was a leper. He needed to be healed. The girl in his house told him, there's a prophet in Israel. So he went there. The king backed him and said, yes, go. And Bible says that because of Naaman, God had given the king of Syria victories. So Naaman had an honest heart. Okay? Now, and the king of Syria said, go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of, let's read together, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. This was what was at stake. This is the amount of money that was at stake. So the devil is not, you know, sometimes they say, it's because you have not seen money. It's true. You need to walk in the character of God and stay under covering so that when that force comes against you and they're tempting you because you are under covering, Bible says that, you know, you are under the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's why. So when you step out, you're on your own. And if you are no match for those spirits, Bible says many strong men have been slain by her. All right. So we see what was at stake. Give me verse 9 and 10. And the prophet spoke. So Naaman came with his chariots, with his horses and his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Next verse. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Just give him a word. That was the word of the prophet. Had already gone forth. Of course, we know the story that Naaman fought it. He didn't understand why it could be so, but his servants prevailed on him. Again, the honesty of his heart helped and prevailed upon him. All right, so let's look at verse 14. And Elisha sent, then he went down and dipped himself, how many times? 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. At this point, he was ready to do anything. Next verse. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Next verse. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Pure ministry. Next verse. And the man said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. True ministry always produces consecration towards God. The recipient of the blessing, beyond the blessing, wants to know the God that is behind the blessing. He seeks the God that is behind the blessing. He commits to the God behind the blessing. That's the purpose of ministry, as we saw, godliness. You know, to follow after God and fulfill, you know, to seek God with all our hearts. Look at verse 20 and 21. See Gehazi. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian. Look at that word. Spared. So the opposite of spare is what? Exact. We should have exacted. And that's what they do. They exact money. They exact money. When he says, I forgot that I'm in Abuja. I would have asked you to give 5 million. Real story. You will have money. Anyway. Let's just continue. Just bring the 1 million. Can you believe that? It's exact. I would have exacted more from you. That's what he's saying. In not receiving at his hands that Chibawa no muwafu, he brought it for us. And we need it. But brethren, it's not based on need. It's not need oriented. It's kingdom oriented. What does God desire? What is going to produce love? What is the will of God in this situation? Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what it's supposed to be. I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So he goes, 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Next verse. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me. True or false? False. Saying, behold, even now there become to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of prophets. Give them, I pray, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. He gave him two. Two talents. Excuse me. He gave him two talents and two changes of garments. Amen. And then look at verse 23. And Naaman said, be content. And he urged him and bound two talents in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. Was it worth it? Next verse. And Naaman, and when he came to the tower, the place of the character, he was living in the tower. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and let the men go, and he departed. Next verse. But he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. See, anytime you start lying to cover up, it means that you've done something wrong. Even at this point, what should you have done? Should have been sincere. Just be honest. Next verse. And he said, when not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments? So it's a question of time. It's a time. God has a time when those things are going to come to you. But it's not at your own discretion. It's God's discretion. Amen. And to receive garments, oliveyards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, men and maid servants. Next verse. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. He was next in line to inherit double portion of a double portion. Pastor said that. To inherit double portion of a double portion. Instead, he got a spiritual communicable disease. No, leprosy is a communicable disease. So it goes down to his generation. Two talents
and two changes of garments. Did he get the gold?
No.
Did he get the silver?
No.
So what is God telling? God is telling us that, you know, what shall it profit a man if he gains external things, the whole world, and loses his soul? He doesn't profit. It's a bad accounting. It's bad accounting. That accounting is the other way around. You should change it. Amen. And we also see Paul, I beg your pardon, Saul, in 1 Samuel 13, 8-12. Just two examples. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Next verse. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Next verse. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, it was a test. God tries his ministers. He prepares them. You know, Saul wasn't praying. He wasn't watching and praying. So at the time it mattered, you know, he was under Samuel's covering, but he wasn't obeying Samuel's instruction. So he wasn't able to behave the way Samuel would have behaved in the same circumstances. This is the issue. You know, his eyes were on the people, his eyes were on his enemies. Brethren, our eyes should be on the Lord. Amen. No, like Solomon, you know, his eyes were on the Lord. And God gave him his enemies, gave him wealth that was abundant. Amen. But the issue is we must keep our eyes on an invisible God. And God is invisible. So how do you keep your eyes on him? Fellowship. By fellowshipping with him in the spirit, in prayer, praying in travail, praying in tongues, studying the word, and obedience. You fellowship with him in obedience, in obeying him. Then you would see the invisible, like Joshua and Caleb did, and you will not compromise. So to summarize, brethren, what is God saying? God is saying, seek me. Draw nearer to me. Focus on me. And stay away from people that have gone astray, from messages that teach you otherwise, so that you can remain pure, because purity has value in the realm of the spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Talk to God. Not my will. Pleasing God. God tries the hearts. And when the heart is well prepared, then God puts the stamp of approval. That's what we're waiting for now. Jesus went to the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. God was testing and trying and proving and confirming and testing prior to release. Because once it is released, it can be unreleased. Repent in your own little life and your circumstances. Focus on obedience, humility. Father of lights, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh, Holy Spirit,
You're my comfort.
Strengthen me.
Hold my head on high. As you stand up for your truth.
Bringing glory unto you.
Raise up that hand. Put your left hand upon your heart as we pray together. Pray and say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies, for your word that has come to us this morning, showing us that it is your desire for us to be pure in heart as we cultivate the character of Christ. Help us, Father. Help me, Father, to be faithful, to watch and to pray, to submit under covering of my spiritual fathers, being obedient to their instructions, being obedient to the word of God, being obedient to the instructions of the Holy Spirit, so that Christ's character and spirit will increase in my heart and in my life, and so that you will be able to do through me all the things that you desire, even in this day of glory and showing. I ask you for mercy, to be faithful, to watch and to pray, so that I'll be accounted worthy to escape and to stand perfect and complete in all of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Japreke kobana rapakaka sheke de bebere kuta rapakatan deas japreke kobanga da babatata reka kobea jakamone mapakarela reda bakatoto beka de bebeta rapakaka koseke de bebere benenebes japreke ro maro baro kaka keka na batoa sarai roa papa jeka roa ronde bere mera la baya kako barea rapakaso seke de bebere. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let you raise my soul.